From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. During the past several months, Dr. Cairns has been bringing a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. He has now reached the concluding book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. He briefly explained the various methods of interpreting the book, but his main focus is on Revelation's chief emphasis and its central figure, the Lord Jesus Christ. Having left aside all the speculation about symbols and characters which appear in Revelation, Dr. Cairns has been dealing with the message of Christ to the seven churches. This book forms the Savior's final word to his churches. It teaches us to live on earth in the light of what the Lord is doing in heaven. It is the message of the victory of Christ over Satan and his hosts. There are three principal divisions to the book. Christ is glorified, Christ is ruling, and Christ is returning. In the light of these truths, Christ's people can rejoice because we overcome in His victory and will reign with Him. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this series of studies of the New Testament books as he brings the final portion of a message entitled, Revelation, the Unveiling of Christ. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Out of Any Circumstance. The text is Psalm 55 and verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Yes, I must and will pray. What else can I do? What better can I do? Betrayed, forsaken, grieved, baffled, O my Lord, I will call upon Thee. My Ziklag is in ashes, and men speak of stoning me. But I encourage my heart in the Lord, who will bear me through this trial, as He has borne me through so many others. Jehovah shall save me. I am sure He will, and I declare my faith. The Lord and no one else shall save me. I desire no other helper, and would not trust in an arm of flesh, even if I could. I will cry to Him evening and morning and noon, and I will cry to no one else, for He is all sufficient. How He will save me I cannot guess, but He will do it, I know. He will do it in the best and surest way, and He will do it in the largest, truest, and fullest sense. Out of this trouble and all future troubles, the great I Am will bring me as surely as He lives. And when death comes, and all the mysteries of eternity follow thereon, still will this be true, the Lord shall save me. This shall be my song all through this day. Is it not as a ripe apple from the tree of life? I will feed upon it. How sweet it is to my taste.
Oh,
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
Third great truth, then, is that the ruling Christ will return to earth. He's risen. He's ruling. He is returning. Chapter 1, verse 7, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. He is coming. In chapter 11, verse 15 to 17, we read, The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Verse 17, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. In chapter 20, and verse 11 through to verse 15, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. And so on, describing the great judgment. Chapter 22 and verse 20. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's coming again. What a comfort to the Church of Christ. The doctrine of the return of the Savior has always been meant to be the most intimate comfort to the people of God. And we have got to learn to think the way God thinks. Cornelius Van Til used to say that the height of human philosophy is to think God's thoughts after him. That's how to think. Tragically, we have made the doctrine of the second coming a theological football. And we have denied the people of God the comfort of the doctrine because of varying schemes of dealing with the doctrine. I hold my views in that as sincerely and as strongly as any. But I think, my friend, we need to get back to the basics of the Word of God, where the first thing we think about when we hear the truth of the second coming is not, does that man dot my I's and cross my T's? Is he in my scheme of interpretation? We need to get to the place where our first thought is, glory to God, he is coming. He's coming. It's a wee bit like the doctrine of election. There are people who would go from here to the end of the earth to make a convert to the doctrine of election. And there are people who would go from here to the end of the earth to make a convert to the doctrine of a pre, mid, or post-tribulation coming of Christ. And yet, they miss the real comfort of each doctrine. This thrilled the church. They didn't know when he was coming. I can prove to you very simply, from the words of Christ to Peter, that Peter and Paul and all the apostles knew that Christ would not physically return during the lifetime of Peter. Peter knew he was going to die a martyr's death. Therefore, Christ would not come before that time. But that did not destroy for them the intimacy and the joy and the thrill and the comfort that Jesus is coming again. Maybe they were a lot more simple-minded than the educated idiots that we have become. Oh, he's coming. He's coming. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You can't believe that Jesus is coming again and live like the devil. Live loosely and immorally and wickedly and in a worldly fashion. It's a purifying doctrine. If you have this hope in you, it will bring comfort to your soul, because Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What a comfort to the church. But what a challenge to the world. And what a condemnation to the world. In chapter 6 we read one of the most terrible portions in all the Word of God, and it's connected with the coming again of the Lord Jesus. In verse 14, the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man. Do you get the impression that the apostle is doing his utmost to make sure we understand there is no one left out? He says, they hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Again, in chapter 19, you have that statement of the coming of him who is called the Word. Verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. Verse 15, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he'll rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And then in chapter 20, as we read in verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The ruling Christ will return to earth. What a comfort to the saints. What a condemnation to the unsaved. The final truth of this book, working out this great central message: Christ is risen. Christ is ruling. Christ is returning. And the returning Christ will reign forever. We have read chapter 11 and verse 15. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. In chapter 20, verses 4 to 6, we have the very same truth of Christ and his people reigning with him 1,000 years. And then, of course, there is eternity. But remember his promise. There's a lovely promise in chapter 3 and verse 21. Sometimes we overlook this because it happens to come after one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It's always unfortunate for the verse that follows, a famous verse, because most people learn the famous verse and forget the next one. But I think verse 21 in some ways is even greater than verse 20. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's a wonderful promise of fellowship with Christ. But now verse 21, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Is there any greater encouragement to be faithful? Here's the vision to breathe courage into a fainting people. So we come full circle. Let's look then at the book of the Revelation. Not primarily that we may parade our knowledge of symbols and mysteries. Sure, let's pray for insight and wisdom. But let's come to the book of the Revelation to fill our mind with Christ. It is the unveiling of Christ. If I had time, I could now start on the real message, which is the application of all that. Because you see, this is how we're to look at all theology. This is Christ's final word. This is how we're to look at all theology with our minds full of Christ. This is how we're to look at all history. The book of the Revelation is a divine instruction as to how we are to interpret all history, and especially the history of the world as it unfurls and unveils itself at the end of the age. And this is how we are to look at all prophecy. Now you apply those for yourself. And I want to tell you, if we look at the book of the Revelation to fill our mind with Christ, we'll get its message. Christ is risen. Christ is ruling. Christ is returning. Therefore, let us rejoice. Let us be faithful. For we who now reign with him in grace will soon reign with him in government and in glory. That, I don't want to sound exclusive, but that, and only that, is the real heart of the message of the book of the Revelation. May God use it to strengthen us and establish us, make us faithful, happy men and women in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, we do bless Thee today for the Lord Jesus. How we praise Thee that He's risen from the dead. How we bless Thee that He's ruling from the right hand of God, who said to him, "Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." We thank thee that he's coming back again to reign in power. We bless thee, our God, that the day is coming when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. We thank thee that Satan doesn't have the last word. We bless thee that the Antichrist doesn't have the last word. We thank thee that all the wickedness of this earth will not be finally triumphant. We thank thee, our God, that it is the Christ who died and rose again, who is the eternally triumphant one. We bless thee that we who know him triumph in him and with him. Therefore, Lord, we pray that thou wilt bring the lost to Christ today. We pray that thou wilt bring thy people to the place of a full enjoyment of Christ and a full following hard after the Lamb. O God, we pray that thou wilt take thy word and use this vision of the unveiling of Christ really to rejoice and strengthen the hearts of God's people, to make us a faithful people, even unto death. Hear our prayer. Part us in the enjoyment of our triumphant Christ. And grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit the Comforter will be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people today, and until our Savior either calls us home or comes again in all his glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.